Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Freedom Fiends live talk radio thing. I'm Nima Vedati. We've got Michael Dean on the other end of our interwebs. How's it going, sir?
The talk radio thing. I like thing. That. This is our talk thing, radio man. Thing.
That's my thing. Yeah, you got it.
What's your thing? Talk me. Why do we say talk radio show?
Because we interviewed your dad. Which, how old's your dad?
He's 93. There. He was 91 when we interviewed
93.
Him.
93. Wow. That's a long time on this earth. And he was, talking to you, and he asked me about my hobbies. I guess we were interviewing him. He's talking to both of us. And we're like, oh, well, this is one of my hobbies, is doing the radio show. And he's like, oh, okay. Did you know that Michael was in a rock musical group? I was like, yes, I did know that Michael was in a rock musical group.
And it's funny because it sounds really old-timey and square, but it's completely accurate. A rock musical group. But
yes, so we always group that played rock music.
We always say that we have a talk radio show. Yes. Welcome to the show.
I guess
show.
That's all what it would be, though. Yes. Talk radio show.
I like doing talk radio shows, man. I got a new talk radio show, Michael Dean After Dark.
After Dark.
Which is going really well, man. We're on one station, and we're on we're doing well on the internet, and people it's what people listen to late at night when they don't want to listen to things that scare them or imagine that there are UFOs working down at Sears.
Yeah. Working down at Sears? Is that a reference to something?
I don't know. That they walk
Sears
among
have
us.
A UFO aisle?
No. Walmart? Okay. I don't know.
Fair enough. I had an idea for today's episode title.
What is it?
Government. DJ says, the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah. DJ says Walmart, definitely. She's headed out there right now. She's like, yeah,
oh, is she?
They weren't there. The government banning the greatest things since sliced bread. Explain. Yes. I'm intrigued and wish to subscribe to your newsletter, Nima Vedati.
Oh, good. Well, the government actually did ban sliced bread. If you can wrap your head around that fluffy white goodness, the government decided that slicing bread was too resource intensive because of the wrapping that you'd put over it. So, in January 18th of 1943,
I was gonna say this is gonna be between 41 and 45. I know somehow.
Oh, yeah.
That was the great like. That was the real precursor to the Patriot Act, because it was we need to suspend all your rights and put in price controls and give you ration books for the common good, you know?
Well, it was one of them. It was in the modern age,
But my parents were alive.
There was World War I.
My parents were alive in that one. And here's the thing why it's important with how the Patriot Act got passed and everyone agreed with it that they should get molested or radiated when they get on a plane is because – old people vote, and people who were alive then as little kids are alive now and vote. They're like, well, you know, you got to do things like this in wartime because the president said so. And I didn't vote for him, but I respect the office, so I'll agree.
Yeah, which is horrible, and it's one of the reasons why the big push God, how long have we been on this war of terror thing?
2001.
Since
September 12th, 2001. Yeah, and you know, a lot of people probably think, well, we had to ban sliced bread because if you were having sliced bread, you were eating with Hitler. You know,
probably.
eating with the emperor, with Hirohito.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is this is a great microcosm of how when you do stuff like this, but the United States government, the people in Washington D.C., they're the ones attacking your freedom.
I'll bet
not
they're
any
still
kind
eat,
of foreign
I'll bet
invader.
They're still eating sliced bread.
I bet they still are eating sliced bread.
Well, but wasn't it when they outlawed Cuban cigars, JFK, who was considered like, oh, the good guy president, you know, JFK like waited an extra week to ban Cuban cigars.
So for his shipment to come in?
Yes, to get a truckload of them. Yep, it's true.
Wow. Yeah, just horrendous and hypocritical. And they actually wanted to enforce this sliced bread thing more so than they actually ended
the
up doing.
Sliced bread police.
Because here's what happened. They banned it, and originally only the factories complied. So you wouldn't get your sliced bread from the Mega Mart. I guess they didn't have those back then, but from the market. But there were some bakeries that still owned their own bread slicer. And they're not going to stop slicing the bread. They can slice it right in front of you. You can take it home in your own package if you're a housewife. And housewives were complaining about this. the New York area supervisor of the Food Distribution Administration. Yes, there was a thing called the Food Distribution
Administration. When you said housewives were complaining, I'm thinking of that Roswell that ends well episode of Futurama.
Yes.
Sir, your wife is hysterical, so I will address this to you.
When he's trying to sell them the stove with the foot-soaking water bath.
Yes, they're trying to buy a microwave so they can get back to the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the reason I said housewives, I wasn't just being sexist. They actually, in the wiki page for this, which you can go Google all this and find it on wiki, a distraught housewife wrote a letter in the New York Times that got kind of popular and was part of the pushback on this ban on sliced bread. And she wrote, "I should like to let you know how important sliced bread is to the morale and saneness of a household. My husband and four children are all in a rush during and after breakfast. Without ready sliced bread, I must do the slicing for the toast. 2 pieces for each one. That's 10. For their lunches, I must cut by hand at least 20 slices. For 2 sandwiches apiece. Afterward, I make my own toast. 22 slices of bread must be cut in a hurry." And she's right, man. These little things that these bureaucrats write on pieces of paper because they think it sounds good actually causes more work, more waste, less efficiency, and really hurts people in their daily lives.
Usually some backdoor kind of like unintended reason people will do this, which we're going to get into later with this gun grabber in California being indicted for illegal selling of guns. He basically looks like he was trying to protect his monopoly.
Yeah, maybe there was some price influence they wanted to exert on bread slicing machines or something. Who knows? Yeah. But when delis and other stores that had their own bread slicers kept doing it, the New York area supervisor of the Food Distribution Administration, how Soviet does that sound? That sounds so Soviet. He was quoted as saying, quote, "To protect the cooperating bakeries against the unfair competition of those who continue to slice their own bread, we are prepared to take stern measures if necessary."
You know what the answer
is?
You know what
the slicing bread.
I got a solution for all this. People complain about problems all day long. Here's a solution. If you know anybody, and everybody knows somebody who works for some modern equivalent of the anti-sliced bread commission, you know, everybody knows somebody who works for some stupid government regulatory commission. Be mean to them. You know, don't invite them to your parties and tell them why. Get up in their grill. Tell them what they're doing is wrong. And if enough people do that, well, they'll probably just kill us all because they're arming them all with 40 cal Glocks right now and hour of gun
training.
That's
not very redemption laced, is it?
Yeah, but you know what? They might not. They might just really we've said it again and again and again. The removing the demand for the state is the only way to remove the coercion of the state. Is just get rid of it, man. Just make fun of it.
Well, in my life, my tactic is not to be mean and get up in grills because I don't want to provoke and poke the beast with the teeth. I think that that's not a good tactic, regardless of whether or not it's the right thing to do morally or not. I think that's irrelevant. I think my tactic is to act like their friend and just, you know, pass not judgment like I'm the judge on high pointing down at you and wagging my finger, but like I'm your buddy and I'm like, dude, that's not cool. Like there's a former cop that I work with at one of my jobs, and he was telling me about how sometimes he's kind of bummed out about what he did, like he throwing people in jail on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. And I was like, oh dude, that's not cool. Why'd you have to do that? And you know, just kind of commiserating with them over how that's not a cool thing to do, man. That's not cool at all.
That's another tactic, and probably more effective. You can probably, you know, wound more flies with honey than vinegar. I don't know.
Wound more flies.
They'll get stuck in it.
See, here's the thing is if people are stuck in their pop culture laden daily lives where they're at one of these government jobs or in one of these industries that cater specifically to government so they don't have to worry about market forces like Lockheed or Northrop Grumman or something like that, then they don't ever hear these competing viewpoints. They think they're doing something good. At their company barbecues, they hear all this pats on the back about how great they are and how they're helping to defend the country from freedom. And they don't ever
You just said defend the country from freedom. Was that accidental?
Well, that I guess that's what they're really doing. Yeah, that was a Freudian slip. Defend it for freedom, I guess, is probably what they would say.
I like defend. I liked your Freudian slip.
Yeah, defend the country from freedom. That should be the name of the episode. Then,
defending the
Washington, D.C., defending the country from freedom since 1792.
I'm putting it in the show notes. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I like it. Worms. I don't know where that year came from, 1792.
Since forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Since they were in power.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a good politician, man.
Well, wasn't
that happen?
Wasn't the original White House or the original seat of government was Philadelphia for a few years?
Yeah. So I guess you couldn't use the DC line.
I will. People will get it. It's shorthand. So I'm going to Porkfest with my wife. That is the headline of the year because
I don't even
go to Walmart, man. I don't leave this property. And I'm going to New Hampshire from Wyoming on a plane. And I said I'd never fly again. And
on a plane. I thought you were airlifting with one of those crane helicopters, the whole bunker,
yeah,
and plopping it in New Hampshire. That's not happening.
We are. And people are stepping up to help, man. Ben Stone is lending us a car. He actually tows a car with his Wormabago, and he's lending us that. And we got
that
a hotel.
Makes sense.
We got a hotel. Yeah, but... And we did not get a hotel like a half mile away because those were all booking up and they're actually really expensive. So we got one 30 miles away or 20 miles away. That was like
really
lush.
Are there Porkfest hotels that are selling rooms for Bitcoin?
I don't know. But you can trade Bitcoin for money at Porkfest, apparently.
You can do that down at the gun shop here in Austin.
Yes, where the now this is what Reason Magazine said. I don't know. But it's the gay black Republican who takes Bitcoin for gun in Texas. That's just a bunch of stuff you never thought would be in the same sentence.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're talking about the same guy. I'm going to try to look up that Reason.
You met him.
I don't want to call him that.
Well, maybe your gaydar is broken.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just don't like to pass I don't like to call somebody something they may not be.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I know the guy. I did buy a holster and use his Bitcoin ATM from is a great guy. I think his name is Michael also. I met him at the Bitcoin conference, and he told me, yeah, man, come down. We'll get you a holster. It'll be beautiful. The guy who makes the holsters is actually kind of like a contractor for them, and he came in. Like, he was like, oh, I'm on my way. And, you know, when I got there, I started talking to him about the kind of holster I want, and I came out, and we talked about it, and he sort of custom built it for me, and it was so Austin because there's this dude
so
with
Austin.
These long
Austin,
dreadlocks. this dude had long dreadlocks down to his waist. He's a total hippie, and he was the guy at the gun shop fitting me for a holster. I'm like, that's a hippie with a gun right there.
This is
totally cool.
If you want to see a hippie with a gun, there's a lot of Mid Park Fest, and someone's going to lend me a gun there too. So I don't need to bring one on a plane.
Oh,
worms.
There you go.
Yep, we'll be back. More freedom fiends. Now, yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends, not your grandpa's talk radio.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
That is not racist, Neil Vidani.
Well, anybody who listens to the show knows that we use that as a tongue-in-cheek joke.
That's racist.
There's a rap musical group called Das Racist. D-A-S.
Yeah.
Racist.
Nobody knows what we're talking about. What we said was racist. I said during the break, California American politicians, California Chinese American politicians, and there's a bunch of them, tend to be very banny. They want to ban things. And I said, it's because some of them have parents who are from China who are like, you're a politician. You can just ban things that are bad. That's based on an actual thing. There's a lady, somebody died of drugs at a rave. And they couldn't ban raves, so they banned in California. They banned glow in the dark, like light up, you know, those sticks,
glow sticks.
Yeah,
they
glow
banned,
sticks.
They banned
glow and they banned gloves with built-in LEDs that blink.
Wait. How could they ban glow? Disney
they banned those.
Would totally lobby against those
in California. Oh, there's probably an exemption for Disneyland, but they banned those in California for the sale of those. And the lady who did it is Chinese American politician, state senator or something like that, state congress, you know, rep. And she said in an article, you know, my father is from China, and he said, why don't you just do this? Ban this. This will stop this, you know?
Wow.
They wanted to ban rave music too. Like a type of music, but they couldn't.
Wow.
So they banned, you know, they banned adults using pacifiers in public too.
That, oh yeah. Cause that used to be an E thing. or a Molly thing, yeah. I guess you'd say nowadays. I don't know if it still is, though.
I don't know.
I remember in middle school, there were girls that were like ravey kind of girls, and they would have pacifiers laced around their neck with some, you know, kind of like a lanyard, but with a pacifier on the end.
Which basically just says, I'm a big baby.
Yeah.
I want someone else to take care of me. I want the state to take care of me and tell me what kind of gloves I can wear. Right. I sound like an old guy, but, you know, I don't know. There's something Freudian about an adult with a pacifier that just kind of is indicative of where society's headed of the, you know, I mean, think about the, you can stay on your parents' health care till you're 26, you know, whether you're pro or con of that, it's like, think about what that's saying. It's saying we want you to be a child and not think for yourself till you're 26.
Yeah, yeah. Although, again, it reminds me of that meme of Batman slapping Robin and Robin saying, well, the government should just, and Batman slapping him saying, it's why it sucks in the first place.
Yeah.
It's totally true, man. I mean, I said it before. I don't know how I would afford the Affordable Care Act health insurance because it's so not affordable. But its price has nothing whatsoever to do with what the price would be in the free market. And before the modern healthcare system we have in the United States, like around the turn of the century, people had already figured it out. Low-income and medium-income workers had friendly societies where they all pitched in and pooled their risk like insurance, and they would hire a specific doctor that would serve everybody, and everybody was able to afford it. You know, it was way cheaper than you'd imagine it now. And it's because there weren't a ton of overbearing regulatory agencies and licensing restrictions and a ton of silly things you have to comply with to where you're spending half of your time and resources complying and everybody's wetting their beak along the path.
All right. Feisty Nima tyranny rant number one. I was actually going to go to a Freedom Fix, but that's okay.
No, let's go to a Freedom Fix. We were starting a Freedom Fix with the Bitcoin gun guy. But.
Well, first of all, Reason didn't say he was gay. Breitbart magazine said he was gay, and it really doesn't matter, and it has nothing to do with the article. So forget it. Breitbart, I don't trust him anymore, especially now that the Breitbart himself is dead and probably died from the government because he had one drink at a bar and then died of a heart attack at age, 46 or something like that? Yeah, so who knows? But here's the thing. We're trying to get Ben Stone to Porkfest. Actually, he's going now, but we're trying to raise him more money, get more money raised for him to get him there in style because he's recovering from heart failure himself, from nearly dying, probably largely from the pace of his Liberty work. Like, literally, this guy is suffering for your art. He is one of the biggest influences on the Freedom Fiends. He is a huge fan of ours. So if you want to help him, there's an Indiegogo campaign. We've raised about $550. No, $525 in cash, $300 in Bitcoin, and something else. I forget, but, you know, a six-pack of good beer maybe. But if you want to, you can win a microphone. Go to badquaker.com. Neiman and I have been – I've given away six of these microphones because I want Liberty people to sound good. I want them to all start their own podcasts that turn into radio shows. I'm training people to be the next generation of Liberty yaktivists on my nighttime show, Michael Dean After Dark. And it's a lot of fun, and there's this microphone. I've researched them all, and I found this one, and it's the best one. It's like $60, but we're giving away a new one. Go to badquaker.com. No money required to enter. You just have to post something around on the interwebs. And that's good. That's a good thing, Nima, right?
Worms.
I think Nima fell over.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends.
It sure is. And this is Nima the Daddy. We're over here having a rave, man. I got my glow sticks. I got my passy. I'm on that Molly. What'd it do? No, not really.
Not me. Yeah. I'm I'm going to be soon in a couple months, 3 months, my wife and I will be riding Airworm One, our blimp, over to the Pork Fest and the big gay dance party. I guess they're, I don't know. I don't know what they do there, but.
Are those not one in the same? I thought the big gay dance party was called Pork Fest.
There was a picture somewhere on the Pork Fest Facebook. Twitters or something of it was at the Liberty Forum, which is kind of like the mid-year, you know, the Winter Olympics version of the of Pork Fest. And it was in a hotel lobby, like a nice hotel, and there was this picture of like five people in suits, and most of them had bow ties, and a few of them had top hats. You know, it was like Derek J. and Jeffrey Tucker. Yeah, there was one guy wearing a white suit with a white top hat.
Did he have a monocle? They're really trying to sell that capitalism part of him.
Yeah, they're like the little guy on Monopoly. But somebody, one of the comments was, "This looks like the libertarian version of the Bilderberg group." And then they said, "Oh wait, never mind. That's Pork Fest." I don't know. Pork Fest is a bunch of remember that article that our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, got bashed in along with Pork Fest? What was it? Like Conservatives for an Accountable Conservative America, like Conservative America. Yeah. I loved it. It made me want to go to Pork Fest. It was like and there were people slam dancing with guns on their hips. And I'm like, that's my kind of party, man. Yeah. There's a lot of like, you know, I looked at a lot of pictures last night. It's a beautiful thing. It looks like a bunch of like, kind of fuzzy hippies with, you know, leaves in their hair and their sweaters, with guns on their hips. Just people who would look like they'd be at an anti-gun rally with guns on their hips. Now, speaking of guns, anti-gunners, we want to talk about this guy, Leland Yee. And we just got this email from a fan who said that that Chinese lady politician is probably trying to sell glow sticks and pacifiers on the black market. Now, why would someone say such a thing, Nima? What did Leland Yee do?
That's racist.
No, it's not.
I didn't read up on it, man. I know he's a gun grabber, and he was doing something. What was he doing? He was selling guns?
Yeah, he's arrested. Leland Yee.
Okay, well, I'll read the first.
Read the LA Times. This is from the LA Times.
LA Times.
California lawmakers prepare to suspend Senator Leland Yee.
Yes, and this is Dateline Sacramento. Stung by scandals that threatened to put three of their own behind bars, state lawmakers were preparing Thursday to suspend Senator Leland Yee, who was arrested a day earlier on charges of corruption and conspiracy to traffic in guns. Mm. Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg has called for a Friday vote to sideline the San Fran Democrat with pay. What? If he does not leave voluntarily. Action supported by the leader of the Republican. Now, suspended with pay, man?
Yeah.
So this guy is corrupt and awful, and he's a hypocrite.
Selling guns for
Let's
the Chinese.
Give him
for
a vacation.
Chinese, for the Chinese mafia. There was some implication of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, how about some paid time off for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yee, arrested by the FBI in a criminal sting operation that also ensnared a notorious Bay Area gangster known as Shrimp Boy.
that's I think that was my assumption, that the Chinese mafia was involved, and
if his name is Shrimp Boy,
that you may say that's racist, but I don't know. I've been watching too much CSI Sacramento or something, and Shrimp
Boy, is that
Boy,
a real thing?
No. Shrimp Boy sounds like it would be a member of the Chinese mafia to
me. Or from GTA San Andreas.
Grand Theft Automobile.
Yeah, Grand Theft Automobile.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so this
it would be, if it was Sacramento, it would be GTA Capital City, probably, or something like that.
Right.
And they would have Schwarzenegger like do a little cameo.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. And because Grand Theft Auto San Andreas was supposed to be like that whole area,
San Francisco
of California,
to LA, right?
It had Nevada in it too. They had LA, San Francisco, and they had a city that was like Las Vegas, and then they had like some country stuff that I guess you would call the Inland Empire, and then they had desert stuff like Area 51. But they didn't have like a capital, which was kind of cool.
It was a stateless, violent anarchy.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen a capital building in any of the Grand Theft automobiles. Mm. That's interesting.
So Yee, I'm looking at Yee's site, and He hasn't admitted that he is out of a job and going to prison, because it says, "Thank you for visiting my website. It is an honor to serve the residents of San Francisco and San Mateo County. This site will help keep you updated on my activities as your senator and our work for children, working families, seniors, civil rights, health care, education, open government, the environment, and other important issues. Please visit frequently as press releases, events, photos, newsletters, and legislative information will be continually updated." And I don't see anything about, I think they're not updating very quickly with press releases of what's going on with him. There's nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So now here's the devil's advocate thing is, you darn libertarians, I thought you wanted everybody to sell guns. I thought you wanted there to be guns and vending machines as long as they were privately owned.
Yeah,
why are you so upset about this guy for selling guns?
Because his guns aren't privately owned. They're run with the government gun taking out the competition.
Yep. That's the correct answer. Exactly. And
ding, 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 ding.
He's manipulating the market, right? If he's selling guns on the black market, he's getting the rate that goes in a black market, which is higher than it would be in any kind of above, on top of the table kind of transaction. So he's getting all of that good risk pay because he's the one who's creating the risk.
He's got a PhD. It says Senator Leland Yee, PhD, which goes back to my thing of a lot of people with PhDs, you know, in some narrow field of study, think that they know everything about everything. Like anytime, you know, you'll see this, they'll have like, okay, go look at what are the TED Talks, which have some amazing scientific futurist talks of brilliant thinkers. But very often you'll have somebody who's like a professor in computer science talking about how we need to run the country or the world. And it's like, just because you understand the zeros and ones doesn't mean you know how to organize humanity at gunpoint.
Right. Yeah. Humans are not digital. They're not binary. You can't understand what they're going to do. And you can't understand what nature's going to do. I mean, I think the things like the EPA are just as silly. Trying to manage something as complex as an ecosystem is just silly and foolhardy.
This guy, his doctorate, Leland Yee's doctorate, is in child psychology. And he worked as a therapist in the mental health department of San Francisco, which is an organization that if you mention having guns, they will get you taken away and 5150'd in some cases. I know of people who know people who had that happen.
What's a 5150?
It's the California code for involuntary 3-day commitment for observation if they think you're going to harm yourself or others.
Wow.
And wow. In San Francisco, if someone who knows somebody calls the police and says, "My roommate or my boyfriend or my husband has a gun, you know, and I'm worried about him," they will kick in your door, they will point guns at you, and they will, for your own good, give you guidance in a mental hospital for 3 days to observe you and see if they want to keep you for longer.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. This guy was like taking away people's guns by all means necessary and then selling them out the back door, apparently, allegedly. Yeah, let's see. Gun control. Yee has been a vocal advocate for gun control. In 2006, Yee was named the Gun Violence Prevention Honor Roll by the Brady Campaign for his efforts that included co-authoring the first-in-nation bill to require semi-automatic handguns to be equipped with ballistic identification technology known as micro-stamping. Which basically makes guns unsellable because they're so expensive. And there's some, that's one company owns the patent on that, and they lobbied really hard to get that passed. Let's see, he proposed legislation to ban any semi-automatic rifle that had a conversion kit that makes a fixed rifle magazine, would ban conversion kits and rifles. According to his press release, absent this bill, California's assault weapon ban is significantly weakened. For the safety of the general public, we must close this loophole. He was quoted as saying, "It's extremely important to the individuals in the state of California do not own assault weapons. I mean, that is so crystal clear. There is no debate, no discussion." And then the next section here in Wikipedia is arrest on corruption and gun charges of gun trafficking. He's been charged with violating Honest Services wire fraud by allegedly taking bribes from WellTech Chi Kong Tang and for medical marijuana legislation from undercover FBI agents in return for promises of official action. See, they want to ban the guns and give you the weed. I've been saying that forever. In our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, we talked about that three years ago.
Right. Well, that's one half of the charges. That's the corruption charges.
Yeah, read the second part, but, the conspiracy.
Yeah, well, the other part, apparently...
Conspiracy to deal firearms without a license and illegally import firearms from the Philippines by setting up an international weapons trafficking deal with undercover FBI agents. You know, the FBI is not partisan, really. They'll take you no matter what. And they took... They were the ones that busted the mayor of D.C. on camera smoking crack with a prostitute in a hotel room.
Now, I wonder about that, though. I'm not saying they're partisan, Republican or Democrat, but
I feel like somebody – I'll bet some other Democrat might have set this up. You know,
That's what I think. I think that whenever a big-time politician goes down on something like this and it's an FBI sting, which means that the FBI was trying to create the problem that was there, entrapment, basically.
Yeah.
Then they had something on this. Somebody didn't like this guy. Some more powerful person decided it was time for Yi to go.
Maybe one of those agencies that bugs everyone's phones all day long got something on him and sold it to some other politician that wanted to put somebody else in this guy's seat that would be more amenable to whatever deals they wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this kind of stinks of that, but I'm not 100% sure. I mean, maybe we always have the stupid and evil debate. Like, are these politicians stupid and they're doing making all these silly laws that are going to be full of unintended consequences because they just don't get it? Or are they evil? Are they planning to do all this stuff so they can benefit from it in some skanky way? It's probably both, but if all these allegations are true, then yeah, it would seem like this guy is more on the evil end.
Well, I'm reading.
He's making sure he can pad his pockets by keeping you from having the freedom you're supposed to have that you're born with.
I'm reading about Shrimp Boy, the guy that he's been tied to, who's a criminal with ties to several San Francisco Chinatown street gangs, including an American branch of the Hong Kong based triad Wo Hop Toe. Isn't that a hip hop group?
No, you're thinking of Wu-Tang Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan, there you go.
Whereas my dad calls it Wu-Tong. Oh, Nima and Frank used to listen to the Wu-Tong.
Okay, Nima RZA will be back in a little bit.
Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. ShinyBadges.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vidati. My wife is out shopping with her Bitcoin money. I pulled some money out of the Bitcoin ATM. She went to buy herself some nice things. I said, go get yourself something nice, honey. And one of the beautiful things about semi-free economies is that the free part, all the parts that aren't free are not very nice. But it is nice that I can give her some money. She can go out and buy what she chooses rather than relying on some kind of ration or worrying about bans. And there are bans in America right now, in the United States. The government bans drugs. They ban certain products.
They sort of issued ration stamps with bullets by buying them all up. The government did.
Yeah, I really wonder about that because that kind of there's a discrepancy there, and I wonder what's really going on. Because if it's just a supply and demand thing, I feel like it should only take a few months, maybe a year at most, for manufacturers to be able to just crank up production. If it's really people that are willing to spend a lot of money, and the prices are showing that. I mean, the price is supposed to be the signal that tells producers to start producing more, right? So what's holding it back? Why are there still shortages? Why are there still prices?
I don't feel. I don't feel that the headline with the government buying a half trillion 40 cal bullets, I don't feel the headline was so much they're trying to corner the market so no one can get them, because most people don't carry 40 cal. My wife and I do. Most people carry 9 or 357 or 22 or 38 or something. I think that the real headline there is that they were arming everybody, you know, that they're arming the mailman,
the National Weather Organization,
the FCC, that they're arming the Teachers Administration. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's the headline. But as far as ammo, I mean, people are having trouble finding 22 now, aren't they? So I feel like there's something else going on there that's preventing production or keeping production from ramping up to its actual equilibrium.
I want to live in a world where bullets are available in vending machines.
I want to live in a world where
it's called Porkfest, and I'm going there with my wife, and I'm really psyched about it. We got a house sitter, too, to watch the kitties. It's a friend of ours that lives in town that lives in a studio apartment and is really psyched to be able to spend a week in our lush many rooms and many cats. Yeah.
Oh, when me and my wife were in college, she had a house sitting gig that we just loved. We got to go to this fancy place out in the hills, and the rules were whatever you want. I mean, obviously within reason. They didn't want me to raid everything, but we were respectful, and they had this fancy liquor cabinet. I'd go get fancy single malt scotches, fancy cigars, and we'd just sit out in the hot tub and have a blast, man.
Nice.
Yes, but things aren't always like that. When war were declared,
the government
won't even let you have sliced bread. At the top of the show, we were talking about the government's sliced bread ban back at the beginning of 1943.
The Sliced Bread Protective Initiative of 1943.
Yes, enacted by the Food Distribution Administration.
I guarantee that they were eating sliced bread at the White House during that.
Oh, they had sandwiches, yes, of course. The ban was rescinded.
Japanese American citizens, or probably made by Japanese American slaves in the White House,
at the very least. Yeah, yeah. It only lasted a couple months, but even when they did rescind the ban, they acted like it wasn't because it was a silly thing to do. They acted like it was.
They were responding to the market.
Right. They didn't say, "Oh, well, it's an awful thing for us to ban a type of bread, and that's something horrible, goonish thugs in the Soviet Union would do, not something we who pretend we're free are supposed to do." No. What they said, the official Wickard was his name, said, "Our experience with the order, however, leads us to believe that the savings are not as much as we expected, and the War Production Board tells us that sufficient wax paper to wrap sliced bread for 4 months is in the hands of paper processor and the baking industry."
What was the purpose for banning it?
We miscalculated. Apparently, you had to wrap sliced bread in a thicker wrapping because it would lose moisture faster. And they needed the material you used to wrap sliced bread, I guess, for tires to put on tanks to go in.
No, you know what it probably is that. Are you guessing the tires? Because I think I know what it was used for.
I don't know if it's tires. I think they used
wax wrapping paper to wrap bullets.
Huh.
Keep the moisture out of them, because they weren't made all like they are now. Ever since the 80s, I mean, we have bullets from the 80s from Russia that we fire all the time, and they're still great. But yeah, it was probably to keep moisture out of bullets. Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go.
We'll be back with more in hour two of Freedom Fiends coming up next. Porkfest. I'm going to go to Porkfest with my wife. It's going to be fun. I'm going to get to meet all my friends that I've never met, that I talk to all day long on the interwebs.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool, man.
Check your traps in person.
Check my traps in person. Yeah, I'll probably be over in the corner on email all day at Porkfest. No, I'm kidding. I'll be emailing people I'm looking at because I don't know how to speak in person. I know how to speak.
Oh, you do too. You've been to conferences before back in your old podcasting days.
If you want me to speak at this, write to Porkfest on Facebooks and Twitters and tell them you want me to speak at this thing.
Do it.
Yeah.
Worms.
Brink of Freedom is a community-based network and magazine whose mission is to provide you with the information you need on your walk to freedom. From homesteading and gardening to tactical and firearms, Brink of Freedom provides everything you will need to gain the knowledge to be self-sufficient. If government doesn't like it, Brink of Freedom will cover it. Come share your knowledge and gain the knowledge of industry professionals within the community. Become a premium member and gain access to unlimited content and discounts on products and services from our merchants. Use the discount code FIENDS at brinkoffreedom.net.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show for the top of hour two. I am Nima Vedati. On the other end, we've got Michael W. Dean. If you'd like to listen to hour one, if you're just tuning in and you feel like you want to hear more, go to freedomfiends.com. All our archives are there. They're all free. Subscribe to us with any of your fancy podcatchers, and we'll appear magically in your chromed robot turd for your listening pleasure. So, Michael.
There's a war on. You know,
there's a war on,
you know. I'm looking at an article about rationing in World War II. There's a war on, you know, and we're going to get to that. But I want to talk about VPNs, virtual private networks. And
well, we are a teaching hospital, and I was telling you about this gig I'm doing. It's a big gig, one of my white label gigs, where I'm getting paid a lot more than normal, so I want to make sure everything's kosher. And I've got clients that are very specific about the music they want. Like, they're like, I want this obscure jazz artist's performance on this day of this year because it was his best time he played this song, that kind of stuff. And so I've been on certain sites that I use Google Incognito for, Google Chrome's Incognito, and I keep PeerBlock on, and you had chastised me and said, no, you really should be using the VPN. And why is that?
Well, you should be using PeerBlock and the VPN,
right?
Because you have nothing to hide, but you don't want people knowing where you're going. And you know, using NSA Incognito, I mean Google Incognito, you know, basically, like, Google stores everything. Just because it's not stored on your hard drive doesn't mean they're not keeping a backup of it for you and others.
Even if Google's not doing it themselves, the NSA is scooping everything that they have.
Yeah. Do you really want your ISP knowing where you're going on the internet? I don't think so, man. So VPNs, we have an advertiser, long-running advertiser, that we also use ourselves, which is a Bolea VPN, B-O-L-E-H VPN. Let's see, what is their website? Bolea, B-O-L-E-H VPN.net. And they offer a very reasonably priced virtual private network service where you can appear to be coming from a bunch of different countries around the world, and you can pick where you look like you're coming from. And It's a good idea to do this. It's not foolproof, but it's another layer of security. Now, here's the thing, and you can go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Bolea link, and or you can sign up just at Bolea VPN. It's about 25 cents per day, and they have software for all operating systems. And if you go to their – when you sign up, if you say that the Freedom Fiends sent you, you get 3 extra days free. So here's the thing about VPNs. I've had a bunch of people lately ask questions like, I don't understand. When I'm using Bolea VPN, when I'm using my VPN, regardless of who it is, I suddenly, you know, I start getting these emails from Google saying, you must confirm that this was not a hack attempt. And then I have to sign in and say it. If you get those emails, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
You don't want to be using a VPN and signed into your Gmail account, your Facebook account, your Twitter account, etc. It defeats the purpose of using a VPN because it is basically adding to the central scrutinizer repositories that you are the person using this attempting to be anonymous on these other sites. What you really should do is only use a VPN when you're not logged into any social media network, or better yet, have two computers, one that you use for your public face and one that you use only for things where you don't want to be known who you are. So there.
And I don't think you're saying don't use Google, don't use Facebook. Well, maybe you're saying don't use Facebook. I feel like what you're saying and what it sounds like to me is there's a public web and a private web. And, you know, you go out in public in the day and you dress a specific way and you act a specific way and you do specific things and you realize that you're in public and people are watching you and the government can see you because there's cameras everywhere. But when you're in your home and you've got your gaffer's tape over your computer's webcam, then you expect a level of privacy.
Or when you go out at night wearing a trench coat and go to those clubs that require the secret knock.
There you go. Yes. So when you're in your home, and treat it like it's private. You know, make sure you've got your VPN on, and make sure you're not mixing the two. Make sure you're not doing the private things when you're out in public. Because if you're on Google or you're on Facebook, you're signed in as yourself.
It's
then
like
you're in public.
It's like going to those clubs in the trench coat that need the private knock to get in while wearing a tracking device.
Right, right.
If you're signed
with a big sign on you that says your name, address, and phone number.
Yeah, if you're using a VPN while signed in to any networks, and really, like, it's instantaneous, and if you do it once, you've screwed it up and should be using a different VPN, not a different VPN, but a different, from the drop-down menu, a different country location. Because if you check your Gmail once, then Gmail associate, you know, Google, whatever. If you log into Facebook once, if you log into Twitter once while on that VPN country,
it tags that to your identity.
To that IP address, right. And mm-hmm. anything you do is no longer secret on that particular IP of that country, of that VPN.
Right, right.
Yeah. There's a war on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So be a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets, but keep them separate.
With Bola VPN.
With Bola VPN, yes.
Yes, and go to the Freedom Fiends page and click on the link. And another thing I want to talk about that that VPNs are useful for is torrenting. And torrenting is not in and of itself illegal. And here's what I want to encourage people to do. And I'm going to start talking about this on every show, because this is, you know, we like donations. We like Bitcoins. We like Namecoins. We like PayPals. We like all that. But the most important thing you can do for the Freedom Fiends does not cost even a post-1964 dime. And that is being a torrent server. So basically, if you go to the Freedom Fiend site, freedomfiends.com, or michaeldeanafterdark.com, and click on the link that says Torrents or Torrent Club up at the top, we have explicit directions on how to easily set up to be a 24/7 or 12/7 or 8/7 while you sleep torrent server for the Freedom Fiends. You can set up your computer to download all of our stuff ever, and download it automatically as new episodes post of both shows, and get our movies free and get our music free. And it probably takes, you know, 4 or 5 days to download all of it the first time, and then it just automatically updates in the background. And you can set up, there's a thing in the torrent program where you can set up scheduling, where, like, let's say there's nobody in your home using the internet Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And, you know, there's nobody using it while you're asleep, midnight to 8. You can set it up so it torrents full throttle and uses your whole pipe during that time, and then shuts down to little or nothing while you're busy on the internet, so it doesn't get in your way, slow you down.
Automatic. No thought given to it after you set it up.
Yes, it's not a semi-automatic. It's a full-capacity automatic torrent service, and it's free.
Yes, yep. It's a Freedom magazine. It dispenses freedom bullets into the brains of all those masses out there.
I have, as Lusander Fiend says, in front of me, a full-capacity magazine of coffee.
Magazine. There you go. Oh, man. So speaking of coffee, do you caffeinate for Michael Dean After Dark?
Yeah, I nap before it.
You nap? Do you take usually a caffeine nap? Have you heard of those?
No, it sounds like it would be nightmare-inducing. What is it?
So apparently it takes caffeine between 20 and 30 minutes to kick in, and 20 minutes is the optimal, according to some scientists who've done studies, that's the optimal amount of sleep time for a nap is 10 to 20 minutes. So people have suggested you caffeinate and then you sleep, take a little cat nap for 10 to 20 minutes, and you'll wake up on your own, because when the caffeine starts to kick in, and you'll be refreshed and alert.
It sounds like a disco nap of some sort. It sounds like crafting your buzz, as David Lee Roth used to say. But here's my experience, and it is I am completely not susceptible to any kind of placebo effect. And so this isn't wishful thinking, but literally caffeine enters my bloodstream from drinking it in 3 to 5 minutes. So that would not work with me.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to figure out ways to take little naps here and there, and I haven't tried the caffeine nap, but in my reading on it, I thought maybe it's something I could give a try. If you've had any experience with caffeine naps, you can email us at freedomfiends@talkback.com or post it somewhere. Post it on the show notes. Yeah, on the comments. That's better, right?
People write us all the time and say, I really liked your show where blah, 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 blah. You know what? It's more useful for us if you post that on our site, or better yet, some other site, and then send us an email.
Yeah, that's
because we don't have a lot of time. You got a baby and a wife and a more than full-time job, and I got two radio shows and have to still make a living and write articles for people. And I'm working on the Meow Bits from meowbit.com, trying to save the internet, which is a slow and difficult process. It's kind of gaining steam, but yeah, man, it's a full-time job on top of the other three full-time jobs I have. So I don't have time to read every email saying how great we are, which sounds like a quality problem, and it really is, but it is more useful to us as far as spreading our mission if you post it somewhere else and then send us a link to it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you have to ration your time, and that's your choice, and that's fine, because speaking your time is your own, because you own yourself. See, but when the folks in D.C.
Nice segue.
Ration everything.
Nice segue, Hannity.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Ding, ding, ding,
segue.
Yes, like we're morning zoo crew. Yeah. But when the folks in D.C. do rations, or when they did in wartime eras long past, they would act as if they own literally every bit of economic activity in their realm, everything that landed within the monopoly of their violence, even down to how much you drive and the speed you drive, which I guess they still kind of do with speed limits.
Think how mafiastic it is to say you can only have 4 gallons of gas a week and we're going to throw you in a cage if you don't.
Right, right. And see, here's the thing is what does that in the market is the price system, right? If the price of something's too high, people are going to take less of it unless it's absolutely necessary. But that tension between price and demand is what rations things naturally. And that's an appropriate function. And then people end up getting what they want, and other producers will come. If the supply is too low, they'll come in and add more or give alternatives, and everybody gets as much as they want in the end, or they'll work to achieve that level. But when the state says, oh, we own it all, they grab it, then you have shortages. You have meat shortages. Because there was a price ceiling on meat, people really didn't get to eat meat that much anymore.
Yeah, yep. And tobacco sales go up when meat is rationed, because when you're smoking a lot, it's easier to forget you haven't had a steak in a while.
Is that true?
I guess. That's a joke. I've heard that before, but it makes sense to me. You know, tobacco kind of quashes your hunger a little bit. But yeah.
Did they ration tobacco? I tried to see if they rationed caffeine.
Probably not, because the tobacco industry has always been backed by backdoor deals of Southern senators. So they probably – although, I don't know, man. During the war, things – you know, they wouldn't only ration the consumers. They would ration the producers. Like, oh, you make automobiles? No, you're going to make tanks in your factory. Oh, you make typewriters? No, you're going to make rifles.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
All right, everybody, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vedati here in the Texas Hill Country, where the blue bonnets are popping up and they're beautiful. And I always thought they were so cool, but I realized the other day that the government, I think the roads department, seeds the medians of the highways with blue bonnets. So
the department of getting the text on the circle obviously needs a bigger budget. That's something Lou just made. It's pretty funny. And I'll be using that as the image for today's show. And that way I won't have to type, Lou made this, because I say it in the show. So if you want Michael Dean to speak at Porkfest, go to Facebook and go to the Porkfest page, add yourself to follow it, and then post something about different things you'd like to hear Michael Dean speak about at Porcupine Freedom Festival. Can't believe I'm going, man. DJ and I are going.
That's awesome.
It's mind-blowing. Yeah. You know, because every time I've ever called in to Free Talk Live, Ian has been like, so, when are you going to come to Porkfest? When are you going to move to New Hampshire? And I'm like, none of that's ever happening, Ian. You can stop asking. And he, for about 4 years, I've been calling in, and he's been asking me that. And he finally stopped asking about 4 months ago.
Maybe you'll move to New Hampshire after you go to Porkfest.
DJ actually mentioned that possibility when she was looking at pictures of New Hampshire last night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, it's possible.
It is prettier than your part of Wyoming.
Oh, man.
It's not it's not prettier, I don't think, than like Jackson or Yellowstone or
my
the Western
part of
half.
Wyoming looks like the moon with sagebrush. That's what a friend of mine said. It really does, man.
That's
Which
funny.
Is beautiful in its own weird way. And if you want me to show the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which was largely filmed in the moon with sagebrush parts of Wyoming, at Porcupine Freedom Festival, go post that on the Porcupine Freedom Pork Fest page on Facebook that you'd like to see Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom shown with a Q&A with Michael Dean afterwards. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
So there's a war on.
Go ahead. I was wondering, looking at this list of things rationed and these rationing stamps from the World War II era, I don't know if they could get away with this in modern times. And they did some, didn't they do some rationing in the 70s too? Didn't they
well,
do gas
they
rationing?
Rationed gas. They didn't so much ration it as there were just lines like four blocks down the street of cars at every gas station. They did not ration it. It was like it just ran out. So people had to kind of try to ration on their own, but it had the opposite effect where people tried to stockpile it, where they would top off as soon as they could, and they would bring gas cans and.
But didn't Nixon have wage and price controls?
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was rationing, but he was definitely intervening in the market, and price controls always lead to shortages.
Well, the thing they rationed, they used psychological rationing. Like I remember President Peanut, Jimmy Carter, on the news when I was a little kid. It was like those, you know, where the president can just take over all the networks with free airtime all the time, whenever he wants. And now they have a button where they can do that, literally.
Right.
But he gave some press conferences where he told everyone to turn their heat down to like 62 or something ridiculous. And it showed him like in a sweater in the Oval Office, like, you know, and they put a prop thermostat on the wall in the Oval Office as if there is such a thing and not like a subterranean bunker of men looking at screens controlling everything. It had him like turning it down. You know, yeah, ridiculous. And he's telling
funny.
Everybody that everyone had to do that. Now, Bill Buford says he keeps his house cold all the time because he's getting used to it. So when all the resources run out, he'll be used to it.
He thinks resources are going to run out?
Or when the poop hits the fan or whatever. I don't know.
Okay,
you know.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to run out, but our access to them could be severely limited
right.
at some point. That, yeah.
I guess I was nitpicking there.
Prepping is basically preparing and stockpiling for the possibility that there will be uber rationing
right.
at some point with the drop of a hat. You know?
Right. 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 See, and that is kind of scary. And maybe I'm wrong here, but I don't know if the United States government could get away with this kind of stuff now. I think that back then when the access to information was so much more controlled and gatekeepers were so much more in control of the gate of information, the information was actually behind the gate back then, that they could get away with this kind of stuff. And nowadays, I don't think people would stand for rations or price controls, at least pitched this way. I mean, there's obviously under the table kind of stuff with things like Obamacare, but even then, nobody's signing up for it. And not only is the president and all sorts of ad campaigns telling you to go sign up for Obamacare, but there's actually penalties, and people still aren't signing up for it.
There was the kind of radio we're doing right now on government-controlled, FCC-controlled commercial radio would have gotten you jailed during World War II. You know, there was an Onion the other day that was really funny. It was someone talking about, like, I can't. We'll talk about it when we get back. It's about Superman. Superman's
Superman.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our drunken Irish port op. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolaVPN.net.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
What is it? What is it, Mr.
D? It's Michael Dean Before Dark, The Freedom Fiends with Nima V. Yeah. We you got your Liberty ration stamps there, Nima?
I do. Yes, we have one ration stamp for Superman. So do you want to redeem that?
Superman, then we're going to talk about how bossy I am and how jazz doesn't work for dancing and why you need to if you're going to smoke marijuana, you need a drum machine to make music that can be used by a DJ. So
you need a machine to tell you the rules.
Yeah. I was just going to make fun of mainstream media. And there was an Onion piece I heard on Free Talk Live recently that really nailed it. And it was like a news piece, a fake news piece. And it was someone interviewing people about Superman, the whole world of Superman, the comics, the movies, the books. And the thing that people had concluded was, I have no problem suspending my disbelief of a man of steel who can leap tall buildings, stop a locomotive, and deflect bullets with his chest. But I can't watch Superman, anything in that world anymore, because I can't believe the idea of a thriving metropolitan newspaper. The Daily Planet. I can't see a bunch of people running around a newsroom with salaries and jobs when everybody knows you can get news on the internet now for free, quicker.
That's funny. Yeah. I love that. That was the Onion.
Yeah, like
spot on.
That's great, man. It's harder to it's easy to believe a man who can deflect bullets with his chest, but I can't believe a thriving metropolitan newspaper could exist.
Right. Yeah. Well, they've updated that, have they? I don't know. I don't watch media like that.
What is Jimmy Olsen a blogger now?
I would hope they did something like that, to where Clark Kent is always on Twitter posting his latest stories or something.
Yeah, but he probably still works for a mainstream newspaper, which is what they do. I mean, the mainstream newspapers have blogs for their writers now, and sometimes the blogs aren't even written by the writers.
They should probably stop printing paper, is what I would do if I were them, especially since they tend to be more liberal and green.
It's okay to kill trees if it's to help Obama.
That's a good point.
But what they do now is they have online versions, and they try to charge money for them when you can get lots of news free that's better and less biased anyway. They just don't get it. And really what a lot of the mainstream press does, we've said this before, we'll say it again, is they act as an aggregator for the internet. Like if you go to the Time Magazine site, they're like, look at this video on YouTube and read our comments on it. It's like, no, I can just go to YouTube and read other people's comments that aren't you.
Well, They're hovering around what the new role can be.
They're hovering around the corpse of the mainstream media, like buzzards and vultures that they are.
No, I think they're trying to find out and flesh out what role, if any, there is for
none.
For something like that. I think there is a role for aggregators of stuff and for people to comment on stuff.
But really, do you want the person – here's what's going to happen is the market's going to take care of that. There's actually been discussion of government bailouts for big newspapers.
I remember that. Yeah, I thought they kind of dropped that though. Is that coming back around?
Yeah, they don't need it because Obama owns the Twitterverse too. But he doesn't really, because it recently came out that like 40% of his millions followers are fake.
Fake.
Yeah, that and it's probably
faking your Twitter.
That's what the NSA supercomputers in Utah are for, is to automate setting up followers for the gods of the state. You know, there's an awesome video on YouTube going around right now of Obama speaking to about 400 people. I think it's at some nuclear disarmament talk or just like event in The Hague. And Obama gives his speech and then nobody claps. Like two people clap once each, like. And then there's no clapping, and they pan to the audience. There's no clapping, and Obama just stands there like, what do I do now? And the docent up on the stage kind of like leads him off like, oh, go this way. And he walks off looking kind of stunned and really mad. And, you know, a lot of the comments were like, yes. And I'm sure the next day the mainstream media said that he has a 99.9% approval rating. My comment, which has gotten like a lot of likes on the Googleverse, my comment was, The people of The Hague didn't applaud Obama because they were too busy thinking, keep it up and we'll have you back here in a couple years for a trial.
That's funny.
Because that's where they try people internationally for war crimes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Who knows?
He's not beloved in Europe the way he used to be. Americans, a lot of them are still falling for it. But
Happy about the confronting Russia again and talking about furthering sanctions, because Russia is the EU's biggest trading partner, I think. And if they're not the biggest, they're at least
are related to rationing. And sanctions are an act of war. Now, what did you say, though, about the original sanctions that Obama put against Putin?
Yeah. And I don't know if they furthered this. I've been kind of media dark for the past week and a half. But when they first announced the sanctions on Russia for Russia I don't even know if you'd say taking back Crimea, but if somebody said the other day Russia's invading other countries, I'm like, no, that's like saying America is invading Puerto Rico. No, they just put another base there. I mean, Crimea is to Russia pretty much Russia. So, but when they announced the sanctions, it wasn't sanctions on like this giant Russian oil and gas company, and you can't sell this product or this good to Russia anymore if you're in Europe. No, it was sanctions on like 11 dudes, like 11 individuals that probably kind of know Putin, but not are in his inner circle, because they didn't want to make Russia too upset. And people have been pointing out that there's not really a whole lot of trade between relatively, at least between the United States and the Russian Federation. So Russia's really not that concerned.
Well, my comment that they only rationed 11 individuals was they have to have somewhere to go, because they always – and remember that sanctions are an act of war because they're enforced with guns, and they punish the people far more than they punish the governments. They have to have somewhere to go. So when they didn't probably say it was 11 people. They probably said we have added sanctions on Russia. And then when that doesn't do anything and Putin's basically laughing at Obama openly, you know, a couple weeks later they can say we've added more stringent, you know, they'll sanction 14 people or something. Right, but they have to have somewhere to go. I mean, my whole life, 50 years coming up on, they've been saying we're sanctioning Iran. I've heard that like every 6 months, I think, for 50 years. And it's like, how much more can you sanction when you've been sanctioning to the point where, like, you probably can't even, you're Persian and you have grandparents in Iran. I'll bet you could not send Western Union money to them. And I'll bet if you did, you'd get a knock at your door and get questioned.
I'll Bitcoin him, man. I don't have to worry about who uses Western Union, man.
That's silly. I'll send him some money on the Western Unions. Yeah,
well,
man.
Hey, you know, this is a really interesting point, too, because all of these things, all of this boot stomping and throwing fits in Washington, D.C., is becoming way, 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 way less relevant. Iran's a great example, too, because after the sort of nuke deal, the peace talks between Iran and the United States started happening, and there was the provisional deal or the preliminary deal, a lot of European companies that had been abiding by sanctions are talking about just stopping, and they're just going to trade anyway. They're acting as if all the sanctions are gone, and there's plane loads of officials and CEOs from Europe flying into Tehran to make deals, cut deals, and try to get their piece of the action. I mean, Iran is like 70 million people or so. Tehran itself has like 20 million people. So this is a big market, a big possible market that's just been ignored for so long, for so many decades. It's so much money to be made. And people are sick of why do I want to let Barack Obama tell me I can't get no money? Reminds me of that.
Yeah.
There's a Jay-Z album called Friend or Foe, and it's about some new drug dealers coming to town. And they're like, oh, this is Jay-Z's territory. And one of the dealers says, who, the rapper? How's he going to tell me I can't get no money? Yeah, I feel like that's how people are thinking of DC and Barack Obama. Like, Barack Obama, the rapper? How's he going to tell me I can't get no money?
That pot-smoking golf player who's not very good? Yeah. Someone sent me a correction. David said that there was rationing of gas in the 70s. See, I was too young. I didn't drive, so I didn't know. But there was it was rationed by day. Odd license plate. If your license plate had – and the last number in it was an odd number, you could buy gas on odd calendar days, and even number you could buy an even an even numbered days.
Yeah.
And that makes I remember that vaguely now that he mentions it. Yep. I like that we have fans that are older than us. I'm 50. We have fans like we're literally for age 15 to 150. Well, 15 to 93 at least, because we have a fan who's 15 that we gave a microphone to the other day. We've been handing out it's been raining microphones on the Fiends. The Fiends and myself have been buying, you know, $50 or $60 microphones for people. Basically, I've done all the research. I've bought every microphone and sold it. Kind of like, you know, when I got into guns, like Boston Tea Party told me and my wife in person, get a Glock Model 23, 40 cal, put tritium sights on it, and you're done. And then he had rifle recommendations. But, you know, my wife did that, and she's done. She's had the same gun forever. And I bought and sold about 50 different guns and then ended up with the same gun my wife has. So I should have just listened to the advice. But no, I don't work that way. I have to do it myself. And I bought all these different microphones. And I ended up back at my recommendation is the USB 2005 model Audio-Technica, which you can get for $50 to $60 on Amazon. Get that. Put a 5-cent pop filter on it. And you're good to go, man. And you sound 80% as good or 85% as good over Skype as the Fiends do with all their thousands of dollars worth of equipment and preamps and tubes and mixers.
Yeah.
So that's experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, I am going to do a little bit of audio activism at Porkfest, whether or not I'm invited to speak. I'm going to buy about 20 little foam windscreens, and I'm going to bring them, and I'm going to put them on every microphone there without being asked and whether anyone lets me or not. Because I look at YouTube video all the time from Porkfest. Like, I've kind of attended virtually over the years. I always watch all the videos they put up of all the speakers on YouTube, and the speakers are all great, and the sound is great, except for it's all pop, 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 pop whenever they say a P or a D or a T into the microphone. And it's like, I actually wrote to the sound people. I found out who they were. I wrote to them. They're called, I don't know, Red Island Sound or something like that. I wrote to them and said, you need pop filters. Here's a list. Here's what you should get. They never wrote me back. They never did it the next year. So I am going to go there and just do it. I'm going to aggress on those microphones by putting windscreens on them without being asked.
How do you have a company name and you don't put windscreens on your microphone?
I know, man. I know.
That seems really odd.
Well, I shouldn't be bashing them if I'm wanting to speak there because they might have some pull, but probably not. You don't have pull of like who's getting married at the wedding when you're the DJ, do you? You don't. And this is.
I guess I have the microphone. I could.
You could
cut
say,
off
"Oh,
the,
don't marry him. He's a loser."
Or I could just turn off the efficient's microphone and start playing. I don't know. Some horrible song.
Some like play evil woman. Evil woman.
Jazz. You can
play
jazz on jazz.
No, evil woman. Play evil woman by Black Sabbath. Hey baby.
Oh, there you go.
My non evil woman's home. You all right, baby?
No.
I left my debit card. You left your debit card. Oh baby, I love you. Now see, if it was a Bitcoin economy, she could have called me and I could have just Bitcoined her money at the Walmart.
Yeah. Well, she probably have her phone on her too. So if she was able to call you, she just use her phone wallet.
Yep.
We'll be back, Fiends, just a bit.
Worms.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean.
MeowBit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. MeowBit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, MeowBit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MeowBit.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Nima Dadi. We've got Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
We are putting this episode to bed.
Nima's breaking up, so I'm going to take over here for a second and talk.
Weird.
No, Nima's like, what? We're breaking up? No.
Can you hear me now?
No. Yeah, I can hear you. Am I better? So I'm going to Porkfest, and I've had three people email me and say, I wasn't going to go, but since Michael Dean is going to Porkfest, I'm going to go too. That is awesome, man. That is, people want to hang out with me. That's a change from, you know, about 20 years ago when I was getting off drugs, when people wanted to completely avoid me, or when I was on drugs. They were like, cross the street to get away from me. So I guess that's the gifts of recovery. I've gone from somebody that people would cross the street to avoid to somebody that people will fly or drive long distances to want to meet and hang out with. That's cool. I like that.
That is cool.
Yeah. So we're going to do a tweak and review here, huh?
We are.
Let me find the right part. Oh, I can't find it. I'll just play some Dead Kennedys while you tweak and review. How's that?
All right.
Yeah. All right. Go for it, man. Tweak.
So wait. Okay, I'm going to tweak and review then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So number one, government banning the greatest thing since sliced bread. The government actually did ban sliced bread in 1943 as part of their war effort because they wanted to save on the wrapping, apparently. And you think they were doing it to wrap bullets. I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's kind of plausible.
They were wrappers.
I think the point is that the state takes away...
The state wanted to be the only rappers. They wanted a monopoly on being rappers.
They did. They want a monopoly on rappers, yeah. But they take away the little beautiful things in life that the market has provided. They claim them for themselves under force of arms. And here's the thing is you said, well, they were probably still eating sandwiches made from sliced bread in the White House. I bet they were. Often things are banned for thee, but not for me. That's so says Senator Leland Yee.
I knew it. That was good, man.
Yeah. Well, he's been a big proponent of gun bans of various types in Ban Francisco, as we like to call it. Or I guess California in general. He's a state senator, right? But he's a no-good Nick. And it came out recently that he had been dealing in arms illegally importing them.
Allegedly. He's been indicted
we gotta have the
for
copy.
It. Which,
we got to have that caveat. Yeah, it's alleged right now. But doesn't it just make sense that –
You know what, though? The FBI doesn't indict anybody they can't convict. They're not like state or local police who just arrest them all and hope they'll take a plea. The FBI is serious when they indict somebody after an undercover investigation.
I would imagine especially so if it's some kind of political bigwig. I also wonder
if – there'd be too much blowback if they didn't succeed in putting him in prison.
Right. And I really wonder if there's some kind of political axe to grind going on here, or somebody somewhere said that Leland Yee is going down.
It's probably another gun grabber, too, that did it.
Huh.
I'll bet you.
I wonder. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find how things shake out. But
with him and Shrimp Boy.
And Shrimp Boy, yeah, yeah. But government bans, rations, sanctions. I wonder, and I got the sense as we were getting towards the end here, are they becoming less relevant? Could we have banning of sliced bread or gas rationing once again? Or are people just starting to roll their eyes at all this stuff? See, back in the 70s, you told me about peanut president, what, Jimmy Carter.
I told you about it back in the 70s. When you and I were sitting around back in the 70s, before you were born.
There was a weird punctuation there that should have been there. Okay.
You split the infinitive.
You were telling me about back in the 70s when you watched Jimmy Carter tell you to turn your thermostat off so you wouldn't be wasting all the energy.
Freezing for America.
Freezing for freedom. Yes. And I bet a lot of people bought that. I bet if the president tried to pull some stuff like that, people would not buy it.
You know what's kind of funny?
They think it's silly.
They didn't do it in my house. And my parents were like, you know, respect the office of the president and like, you know, patriotic Americans. And they were like, we don't need to do that. Everyone else will do that. We don't need to do that. That's what my mother said.
Not for me. Yeah, yeah. Well, and the example of the Iran sanctions and how a lot of European people are just ignoring it. The fact that the EU is probably not on board with the Russia sanctions and will probably disregard it. I feel like Barack Obama and DC, they're going to sit here and throw their temper tantrums, and in the end, people are going to not comply. I really hope that's what happens, and I hope they just give up. I hope the state drowns itself in the bathtub because it's so lonely and doesn't lash out violently. I fear, though, that the latter will happen, and we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
No, it won't. It'll just be random little bits of that, and it'll become like Facebook, where no one's logged in 6 years.
You mean MySpace, or is it Facebook now, too?
Them, too.
Okay. Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, we'll see you sometime.
Worms.
FreedomFeens.com.
Yeah.